turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives, this beautiful, beautiful Sunday evening here in Dallas, Texas. And you know, we're really talking about the concept this particular evening. This is really a triptych of three different shows. You know, the first one is dealing with films and the impact on various generations. Next Sunday is going to be the impact of TV on three generations. And the following week will be the impact of advertising on three generations. So tonight, joining me tonight at the Studio Roundtable, or the SRT, is Joe Patrica. And Joe is the Executive Vice Dean of the American Film Institute Conservatory. And he's been on this show before. And he's a really intelligent guy, and he's a good friend of mine, and he's going to help us figure out really how generations and how we're all impacted by the medium of film. Welcome this evening, Joe. How are you doing?
Hey, Ashley. Thanks for having me back.
Great to have you back. What's going on with you?
Just enjoying a nice, beautiful Sunday here in Los Angeles. Finally, it's cooling down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about that earlier. It's gotten a little chillier.
Yes, but it's been a really hot year, so it's not such a bad change.
That's nice. That's nice. That's really good. Yeah, I love L.A. weather. I like it a lot. I like the weather. I don't like the traffic, but I love the weather.
Well, the traffic. No one likes the traffic.
Oh, come on. I love a 405. It's great. I love it. I love it. No, so we talked a little bit about this earlier on the phone, and I know I was racing to Walgreens, and you were, hiking or something, but we were talking about, you know, the concept of how film and really impacts generations. And you were telling me something really neat about when you were dealing with applications for the school and how you really saw that impact.
So, you know, I help run a graduate film program, one of the top ranked film programs in the world. And every year we get hundreds and hundreds of applications. And as part of the application, there's a whole sort of essay section where we ask the applicant to write about their influences and what movies have influenced them. And it's interesting how every 5 years or so, there's always a popular movie. You know, for a long time it was Star Wars, and then it moved up to, you know, Indiana Jones or Titanic, and then it was Matrix. So it always changes, and it does seem to influence the generation in different ways.
It's kind of interesting, yeah, because we were talking about how, you know, Star Wars and then Matrix and stuff like that, because it does really impress on them, I guess, maybe the type of work they're interested in doing as far as film is concerned, but also maybe the way that they kind of see things.
Exactly. So I think it's, you know, not only the subject matter, but it's the style of the filmmaking or what it has to say about the world or the place or the time that we're living in.
Yeah, I thought The Matrix was one of those films. I like the original, the first Matrix, a lot. And the second one wasn't bad. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I liked how they kind of impressed the fact of a little bit of the big conspiracy theory kind of concept.
Right. And, you know, that's sort of a common, I mean, now with the internet sort of being in everyone's lives, as well as cameras and digital tools in our hands, our phones and so forth, I think the whole concept of conspiracy, or that people know what you're doing or things are pre-programmed, is, part of the generation we live in.
Yeah, and I think that also impacts people. I mean, to take it a step further, you know, I don't know, maybe this was the same back in the 60s, 70s, I don't know, but even during the presidential election, you hear all kinds of stuff at the same time, and it's all very conspiracy theorist, and it's kind of, I think, kind of rotates around some of these films in the genre.
Right. And I think it's popular. I think people, you know, you always can come up with some sort of like, well, what if kind of scenario? What if, you know, the moon landing wasn't real and it was just staged in a soundstage? And people think that could be cool, or could it be real? Who knows? There's only the five guys who are on the moon who knew that they were on the moon. And conspiracies can be fun. So I think people look for movies to take them away and you know, charge their mind up a little bit.
What was one of, yeah, I totally agree with that. What was one of, I guess, tell me what your two or three impact movies were, basically kind of based upon your generation.
You know, it's so hard to say when, I mean, like, I can talk generally about the the generation. But I mean, it's so hard to say like what your favorite movies are when you work in it and live in it, because there could be hundreds of titles that would make it. But I mean, I think growing up, you know, everything from Dirty Harry movies to the horror movie Carrie to the Godfather movies, though that was a little bit before my time. But those things, you know, did impact my growing up. And then I think Star Wars was when I was in junior high or just in high school. So that had a big impact on the world. I mean, sort of like the blockbuster idea of movies seemed to happen when I was growing up. Jaws and Star Wars, which were unlike big successful movies of generations past.
You know, you said The Godfather, and I guess The Godfather, would that have been a real impactful film during the baby boom generation itself, kind of, from 46 to, I guess it wouldn't have been.
No, because I think it's outside the formal baby boom years, but at the same time, those people, as they were growing up, I think would have been, you know, of an impressionable age when Godfather came out, whereas, you know, I was probably the next generation, and I was way too young when The Godfather came out.
Yeah, you got it on VHS or whatever, right?
Right.
That's the thing. It's like there's certain impactful, because I kind of missed the Star Wars impact.
Right.
I wasn't there until they started making the movies. I could never understand that. We're going to make the movies, but we're making the first ones now, and the other ones are the last ones.
Oh, right. The second three.
I could never understand what number I was watching. I had no idea. I didn't know that one was earlier than the last one, and the last one was earlier. I couldn't get it. So, you know, it's like you look at Generation X is what they kind of define it as, the early 60s to the early 80s, I guess the birth dates type thing.
Right.
So I think that takes up a lot of our demographic of the show. I mean, the baby boomers do as well, and then the new Generation Y. But I'm trying to think, what films do you really think kind of define maybe, you know, our shared generation?
You know, I think some of the titles we've already talked about with Star Wars and Jaws, but also, you know, the high school movies of John Hughes, you know, like The Breakfast Club and Pretty in Pink and those kind of movies, even Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I mean, those, you know, were popular in the early 80s. And then these big action movies, the Indiana Jones movies, the Aliens movies and those kind of movies began to take over and really, what's that, the Tom Cruise Top Gun. You know, Top Gun really influenced a generation of people coming up.
Yeah, also like 16 Candles.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, those were good. I didn't get to really see those till I was in college because, you know, my parents were very strict, and I think it had a PG-13 rating. So, there you go. But it still was good. It didn't hold the same interest. Again, it kind of tells you exactly the impact of it. It's like you watch it after it's kind of its time, and the impact is kind of lessened.
True. But, I mean, I was trying to think of examples like, you know, people say that after Psycho came out, people were afraid to go in the shower, or after Jaws came out, people were afraid to go to the beach. And I haven't really thought of, you know, I don't think Avatar made us afraid to go to the planet where there's blue people. It seemed kind of cool and interesting to go to the planet with the blue people.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. It's kind of like a different world, different. I think sometimes films try to give generations some sort of hope to a degree too. Like there is more than just us out there, or maybe hope of that conspiracy theory to give some sort of a glimmer of another option, possibly.
Right, but I think that's what people in general are looking for in entertainment. You know, they want to escape, or they want to be, you know, taken outside their daily lives. So, you know, movies are great at showing other sides of the world, or imagined world, or, you know, an alternate reality. And that's fun for a couple of hours to forget about your job or your kids or your car payments and have some fun in the dark.
I totally agree with that. I think that's neat. So tell me a little bit about, we'll go back to this, the whole generations and the film impact, but tell me a little bit about the AFI Fest this last week.
Yes, AFI Fest was November 1st through 8th. I think there were 133 movies shown, but there were, you know, gala premieres almost every night with movies like Lincoln, which opened this weekend. That was our closing night movie. The Life of Pi. Hitchcock was our opening night movie. Rust and Bone was screened, a French movie. Skyfall, the James Bond movie, was a special secret screening. So there was just a lot of really great movies to see. And in Los Angeles, the premieres were in the big Chinese theater, which is a great old historic place to have watch movies. Parties and stuff were at the Roosevelt Hotel across the street, which was the location of the very first Academy Awards. So it was a great movie celebration in a movie town.
What was that really uplifting, you know, fun-loving, easygoing film that I got to see at AFI Fest last year with you? What was the name of that one?
The name of that one was Shame, which it's interesting that you characterize it as uplifting and fun. Many people thought it might be fun, but I don't know about uplifting in that it was a pretty hard edged look at sex addiction.
Man, that was a rough film. I mean, I think that the person that directed it and everything, as far as that is concerned, they did a great job. It was just a very hardcore film.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I used my jacket a couple of times to cover my eyes. It was interesting, though, but going to that festival was really neat last year and being able to attend that. And, yeah, at the Roosevelt. And, you know, it was at Mann's Chinese Theater. That's where it was?
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
You know, which has the hands and footprints of stars from, you know, Gone with the Wind to R2-D2 out in the cement out front.
You know, let me ask you, what do you think about this film, Lincoln? Do you think that's going to be maybe a generational, impactful film?
You know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say what's going to catch on with the public or what's going to, you know, I mean, I think that I'm not an expert to predict those kind of things. It's a really intelligent movie. It's really well made. It's about a subject that I think people kind of are very familiar with the idea of Lincoln and know about the Civil War and the freeing of slaves. They might not know the specifics of it. I think people were surprised to hear that Lincoln was a Republican, and it was a Republican who freed the slaves, because people today kind of think of that sort of intention to be a little more on the Democratic side of things. So history is interesting in it. But it's a little bit like a school lesson. So, you know, you have to be up for a lot of talk about legislature.
Right. You know, legislature. How long is the film?
It's like 2.5 hours. So it's quite long.
It's lengthy. You know, you talked about how the film, it's basically like the passing of a bill or whatever. And it is kind of interesting about the Republican thing. And a lot of people don't really realize that. And I thought that was interesting you brought that up. But what kind of films do you think really, have there been a lot of films in the past that really educate us about past generations, you think?
I don't know that is so popular. I guess it is. I mean, because I do think things like, you know, Titanic educated people about people in the 20s and what that life was. And, you know, when it's that big of a success, I think that people do learn something because they romanticize that world and that life. So I do think there are movies that sort of do go back to other times and help educate people.
Yeah, the Great Gatsby was good too. I mean,
exactly.
I know that wasn't bad. But yeah, Titanic was a great film. I mean, it really did show you, I guess, maybe the levels of financial means and how they basically divided people up back then.
Exactly. You know, even something like Slumdog Millionaire, you know, showed people a side of India or a side of the world that they would never see. So there was learning about, you know, what's just happening on the other side of the planet today.
Yeah, that's true. That's really
true.
And
then there's all the vampire stuff that people have to learn about.
Oh, yes, the vampire stuff. It's good stuff.
That those movies are very popular today. And, you know, I think there are a lot of theorists and critics who look at, you know, sort of the concept of a vampire and whether it's eternal life or some sort of blood infection type thing and try to make a allegory to current times or current issues. But it is an interesting example of, like, why at this time in the world is this vampire idea so popular again?
No, I know. It is very popular. And I think it's also about having, like, super power or something, or the ability to live forever or whatever,
right.
and to have that, you know, when other people don't.
Right. It's like, I mean, I guess it's a different version of the superhero movies that, you know, people who can solve crimes or protect a city or protect a public with some sort of superhuman skills.
But just drink blood of other people and that sort of thing.
Well, in the vampire case, yes.
In the vampire case.
But I was
case.
Thinking in the Iron Man or Batman, Superman kind of case, the Avengers.
Yeah, and those are like those. Well, let's take a break real quick, because when we come back, we're going to discuss that too, because we kind of talked about that almost under children's films and action and stuff. Let's bring that back up when
okay.
we come back. So hold on with us, Joe. I appreciate it.
And
for all our listeners, just we're going to take a quick break and just leave it on 570 KLIF or KLIF.com or iHeartRadio if you're really cool and hip and you're listening to it on your cell phone. So we will be back here in just a second. We're going to be talking more about film and how it impacts our generation. Be right back.
Are you making a career transition or starting a new business? Have you been feeling dissatisfied, reevaluating life choices, or simply looking for personal and professional breakthroughs? Maybe it's time you look into getting yourself a session with renowned certified life coach Ashley Burgess. Life coaching deals with all areas of a person's life because issues in any one area can affect all others. Life coaching is a process which helps to solve daily problems, increasing the understanding of life's natural philosophy. As a licensed and board certified master life coach, Ashley Burgess empowers individuals in a supportive and non-judgmental way. Ashley understands that life coaching is a special relationship between herself and her client, and your anonymity will always be held in the highest regard. Life coaching is a practice with the stated aim of helping clients determine and achieve personal goals. Ashley Burgess helps people to recognize their goals and to both recognize and overcome the obstacles that are keeping them from getting there. For more information, visit ashleyburgess.org. That's A-S-H-L-E-Y-B-E-R-G-E-S.org.